Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Blake Rogers Show. I am your host, no other than Blake Rogers, and I am so happy. I'm feeling so much better. I have more life, because I am not sick. I was so sick last week. It was ridiculous. Actually, I did record a show last week, but I was so sick, and it just sounded bad. So I didn't want to put out that bad content out there for you guys, and it was a good half an hour show, but I just couldn't do it. Wasn't gonna be able to do it, but I'm here now, and I'm so happy to be here now. I want to dive in, you know, NBA playoffs, you know, LeBron having a bad game, and oh my gosh, it's in the world, and hear all the LeBron slander, and want to get through that. You're in the business and the entrepreneurship, and you want to, you know, you get sick of working for somebody else, and you want to, like, make your own way. Definitely dive into the latter half of this episode. I have a longtime friend, Mr. Devin Shoemaker. He will be on. He's been an entrepreneur about 5-6 years now, having his own business, learning in and outs, and what it takes to be your own businessman. If you're into Gary Vaynerchuk and John Taffer and people like that, entrepreneurs, you know, working from the ground up, definitely listen to the second half of this show. Thank you for listening to Dash Radio. You can find the Blake Rogers Show on Mondays, 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern on Dash Radio, on Almighty Baller Radio. And listen to my show if you missed the episode, Tuesdays on almightyballer.com. Just search the Blake Rogers Show. That being said, let's just dive right into today's episode. Like I said, Cleveland versus Boston. Look, we know what the deal was. Cleveland's been giving Boston a spanking. Boston's still, I believe, like the worst number one Eastern Conference team I have seen in recent memory. Cleveland, you know, doing Cleveland things, winning. You know, first half, you know, handled it real well, had a nice little lead. They moved to the second half. Boston outscored Cleveland 32-21 in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, Boston outscored Cleveland 29-21. Avery Bradley game-winning shot with, like, I believe, like 0.1 second left, a tenth of a second left. And Boston wins the game 111-108. And Cleveland still has a 2-1 series lead, but they're definitely going back to Boston for game five. The story of the game, you know, this is how you know you're a dominant player. When the story, the headline of the game is that you didn't win, you didn't lose, it was just LeBron had a bad game. LeBron, 45 minutes, first of all, that's really against the Boston team. LeBron played 45 minutes. I understand Tyrone getting the 3-0 lead, but geez Louise, 45 minutes. Finished the game with 11 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 0 points in the fourth quarter. Oh, gosh, let's overreact. LeBron sucks. He'll know you better than Jordan, and just stop it. LeBron's great. He's not allowed to have one bad game. That's how you know you're dominant, when you're not allowed to have any bad games. And if you have one bad game, the world just harps up against you. So look at James Harden. Horrible game. Game six, and it was bad. You still want James Harden on your basketball team. LeBron James has a bad game. Okay. He's still the best player on the planet. I mean, really. So he has no points in the fourth quarter, and the narrative is, well, LeBron has all these players. LeBron has Kyrie. LeBron has Kevin Love. And like I said, dating back when LeBron doesn't play, the Cavs are 2-13 when he doesn't play. And essentially, LeBron didn't play tonight. LeBron had a bad game. I mean, you know what's funny? For role players, an 11-6-6 night for Kent Bazemore would be amazing. An 11-6-6 night for Jay Crowder would be standard for him. But LeBron, when you go for... You go 11-6-6, oh gosh, it's in the world. 11-6-6, man, that's even good for Draymond. 11-6-6. Oh, that's great for Julius Randle. But you know what, LeBron, the standards that we have set for you, you're not allowed to have any bad games. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. This man has been playing out of his mind. And this is his best statistical year. And he has an 11-6-6 game and it's slander for the man. Ah, stop being so overreactive, please. This stop. It's so foolish. It's just idiotic. Let me ask you this. You show up to work every day. You're not going to have one bad day at work. You're not going to have a day when you're just like, you know, I'm just not feeling it. It's been a rush. I'm way behind. I will never catch up. You never have one of those days? So why do we put these same standards for professional athletes? Because they're getting paid more? They're still human. Of course, they're exceptionally great at what they do, but they're still human. So can we just stop with overreactions? You're not perfect. You're not gods. So why, when it comes to professional athletes, we ridicule them? Especially for a guy like LeBron James. Now, if you're somebody that's been stinking up the joint and you're a star player, you're just stinking up the joint, okay, bash them, get on them. But geez, this is in the world. And this doesn't go for LeBron. It went for Harden, too. And yes, I'll say this. Harden has a history of not showing up in big moments. I'll be the first person to admit that. And I'll even argue that Harden's more of a regular season player. I will admit that as well, too. Even though Harden, and yes, I will admit that, because even when Houston came back, it was more Josh Smith and Dwight Howard and the role players taking over that 3-1 lead against the Clippers. James Harden was a no-show against the Warriors. He was a no-show against the Spurs when it came down to it. But to LeBron, LeBron has shown you time and time again how clutch he can be. And granted, as a Heat fan, that 2011 Finals was just awful. It was awful. He played bad. You know he played bad. But if we're being honest, we thought LeBron was in his prime there. We can say LeBron was just entering his prime. We thought LeBron's going to take a step back and went to Cleveland. He's actually been in his best gear. We're talking stats-wise. This man has been the best player on the planet for over a decade now. At 22 years old, he took the San Antonio Spurs. He went against San Antonio Spurs, as I say, in 2007 Finals, and beat that tough Eastern Conference Pistons team. Did he get swept by the Spurs? Yes. But he had the likes of Donyell Marshall, Damon Jones. We know the narrative. Did LeBron play poor in the series against Dallas? Yes. Yes, he did. Did he learn from that? Absolutely, because he has 3 championships. So, I just don't know what is the big fuss about this. We all still know Cleveland's going to win the series. And you know what? And if Cleveland magically loses the series with no Isaiah Thomas for Boston, you got to throw the Jordan narrative out the window. Just throw it out the window. Throw it out, because it's just disregarded. It's trash. But we all know that's not going to happen. It's not. And for all the people that want to say, well, he has Kyrie, Kevin Love. Okay. And what was Kyrie and Kevin Love before LeBron? Neither of them made the playoffs. Neither of them made the playoffs. Not Kevin Love for Minnesota, not Kyrie for Cleveland. Until LeBron came. This is why the John Wall and Kyrie Irving comparison is just mind-blowing to me, because John Wall leads a team with no bench, and Bradley Beal, when he wants to show up, to the playoffs nearly every year. Oh, Blake, they didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, I'm sorry, when your bench gets outscored 48-5, what are you supposed to do? John Wall didn't show up in the fourth quarter. Oh, I'm sorry, there's only so much you can do. But people want to compare, let's say that Kyrie's better than John Wall. Different subject for a different day. I will argue that any day of the week, but you know how I feel about that. But I feel like Colin Collier was talking about LeBron, or Nick Wright. Every conversation is like LeBron. It's like John Wall. Every time I talk, I got to bring up John Wall. Love you, John. But let's just chill. Let's appreciate greatness. He had an off game. Like I said, 11-6-6 for most players in the league would be a miracle. But when you're part of that elite group and the best player in the world, it's not going to be great. I mean, seriously, like when Draymond Green, when we say Draymond Green has an 11-6-6 night, we look at it as, wow, only four more, you know, he has a triple-double. It's a Draymond type of game. But when LeBron does it, we shake our head upon it. Wasn't the most efficient game. Like I said, that 45 minutes scares me. It scares me. That's a reason for concern. And, I mean, this is a dangerous game we play with the NBA now. If you're not making threes, it's chops. Well, we're going to bring in Kyle Korver, sharpshooter. And when they're not sharp shooting, it's chops. Not good for you. Can we just talk about the downfall of Deron Williams? Jeez Louise. Just jeez. I don't even know if he's a borderline Hall of Famer anymore. I don't think Deron Williams is a Hall of Famer. I just want to break it down here because I said my two cents about the Cleveland Boston series. It's just, can we just go back to Deron Williams and Chris Paul? Just, 1 and 2 in the draft, same draft class. It's like, man. The turns for the worst, and I mean, and you can argue both, have had their battles, during their span, and you can maybe even argue, I'm not going to argue that, but we all will agree that Chris Paul is the better point guard. And injuries play a factor, but they both been injured a lot in their career as well. And you got the narrative for Deron Williams, coach killer, money grabber. The simple title for Chris Paul, he doesn't win big games, which he has won a couple games, but he hasn't advanced far. So just to see Deron Williams reduced as a role player, and then Chris Paul still a top five, not top 10 point, probably top 10 point guard in the league, just the way the NBA is now, but still top five, top 10 point guard in the league. It's just weird to see that. I want to transition to Golden State and San Antonio. Kawhi didn't play in Game 3. What did you expect? Golden State won. Like I said, this is probably the most disappointing matchup ever of the regular season and postseason. We all remember Game 1 when San Antonio beat Golden State. And we're like, wow. Maybe they can challenge in the West. It was not too long ago when San Antonio had the number one seed in the West. Have we forgot about that? And to me, it's kind of like, wow. It's disappointing. Injuries played a huge part in Zaza's out. And like I said, I think that play, oh my gosh, you didn't hear me say that. That play was intentional. I know it's old news now because we're in 24/7 theme. Keep it going, keep it moving. But no, that was intentional. What Zaza did was definitely intentional. Kawhi virtually had no room to land at. And Zaza's a smart player. He knows the spacing on the NBA floor. He's a longtime veteran. He knows there's no room for Kawhi to go. And Kawhi's ankle's already hurt from the Houston series. So what do you do? Let's make that extra step. Make that extra jab. And bam, Kawhi's out. Either way, I still think Golden State would have won the series. But It's unfortunate because I think this Golden State, San Antonio Spurs had just a lot more going to it. And we remember the game where, both stars, rested their players. And it's just, it was so gross. I think the biggest game of the San Antonio Golden State was literally Game 1. When they first played each other, you had the hype and the anticipation and everything like that. But either way, we're going to get Golden State versus Cleveland for the third straight year. And I'm fine with that. Are you as fans happy with getting the same teams every year in the finals? I'm personally fine with it because they're the best teams. This is our definition of, we think of, Lakers-Boston. This is the definition that you get. Jordan versus whoever. this is what we're going to get. This is a generation that we're in. Just live with it. I mean, it's funny to see LeBron versus Steph every year. Every year. And one input that, you know, you guys didn't get to hear me say as well is that if Durant wins the championship, what does this do for his legacy? For me, you know, just being somebody that talks about it. For Durant, it can be like, I won a championship. Yay. I got a title. This is what it feels like. For me, Durant winning. Durant can win 5 rings at Golden State, and it wouldn't mean anything to me. It wouldn't. It wouldn't mean anything to me because you ponybacked on another team's success. I respect the guys like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, and granted, those guys ring chase at the end of their career because that was the end of their career. The light was at the end of the tunnel. So don't give me when Karl Malone joined the Lakers, oh man, he's ring chasing. You're damn right. He gave all he had in Utah. There was nowhere else to go. Paul Pierce, he ring chased at the end of his career. They thought Brooklyn was going to be something special. But have you seen a player in his prime ring chase to the next team that they lost to, the previous year in the conference finals? And throw that LeBron BS narrative out the window. You try to play with Delonte West and get to the NBA finals every year. Tell me if that's going to work out for you. LeBron didn't, hey, Paul, you got a spot for me in Boston? First of all, I probably wouldn't even work contract-wise, but still. LeBron didn't go to Boston. I guess the saying goes, if you can't beat him, join him. But I have never seen a player in his prime go to the opposing team like that. A top 5 player in his prime? Oh, man. Don't give me that legacy BS. I respect a guy like Charles that went toe-to-toe against Jordan, lost, but gave it his all. He went down swinging. That's what we like about Westbrook, right? He goes down swinging. He'll give you a triple-double, 40, 10, and 10, but he lost. But you know what? He went down swinging. I didn't say it. That's what you guys say. So don't come here and get mad when I say that this legacy, if he can win as many rings as Golden State, they won before. Golden State won before Durant. They didn't need Durant. It would have been Golden State versus, it would have been a 50-50 coin flip Golden State, Oklahoma City every year. And I'm not even saying that Durant directly went to Boston, and I would have been fine for that. I would have got it. I'm like, okay, Isaiah, Durant, Al Horford. Okay, I get it. That I can get. Because you know why? Because Durant didn't face Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. They were a first-round team last year. Second of all, Boston didn't win anything before Durant. Golden State did. So why are we talking about legacy? Durant, this has nothing for your legacy. And Durant, get me wrong, Durant is still a top 3, top 5 player in the NBA. Could put him on an MVP discussion if he didn't get hurt. Let me make that perfectly clear. But legacy? When I think of legacy, I think of something like you build from the ground up. That's legacy. Like, even when LeBron went to Miami, yeah, he got his chips. He got his chips, and it's great. He got the big spider off his, the big monkey off his back, as they like to say. But when LeBron beat Golden State and got a championship for Cleveland, that's legacy. That's something you cement. That's something that will never get taken away. A city like Cleveland, struggling in every sport, and you get a championship, that's legacy. If Durant went to Boston and got a chip. That's legacy, because Boston has a history of winning. You join those Celtics great. Bill Russell, Red Auerbach, Larry Bird. That's legacy. If you would have stayed in Oklahoma City and won a chip there, that's legacy. But when you join the team that you lost to and had a 3-1 series lead against and you blew, and you won a chip with them, that means nothing to me. And like I said, don't, like I said, at me, the B-Rod Show, at me on Twitter. Let me know, have you seen another player, top five player in his prime, go to a different team? To ring chase. Like I said, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, they were way past their prime. And Gary Payton got to the finals with Seattle. Karl Malone with Utah. So, what's the big deal? Charles Barkley as well, Phoenix. They all went to the championship. They couldn't beat Jordan. This is the equivalent of Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Gary Payton, all meshing up to fight Jordan. That's what LeBron's dealing with every year with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Durant. You know how hard that is? So don't give me that legacy talk. One final note before I switch to the entrepreneur talking to Mr. Shoemaker. I want to talk about, you know, earlier in the week, LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball, you know, Don the Herd, Christine Leahy, they went at it, and Jason Whitlock chimed in. Charlamagne gave his 2 cents. I want to talk about it. I've been waiting for it all week. Where's the boundaries for reporters? Because I know back in the day, like, you know, reporters would get kind of chimed at, and you know, but it's still like it's still a bubble. It's still a safety net with reporters and analysts and people like that. But to me, it seems like when you give the heat and you can't dish it back, when you give the heat and you can't take it back, that's when it becomes a problem for me. Me, I will say anything that I can and come at me. Because I believe in strong what I have to say. And we can have a healthy debate about it. But when things get personal, that's when things get to turn for the worse. Christine Leahy, my 2 cents, I thought she was great in the beginning as a host. But when you say that, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Russell Westbrook has been the best players in the playoffs, without mentioning LeBron James, your opinion is irrelevant to me. Your opinion is irrelevant to me. Sorry. That's just how I feel. And you know what? And I was listening to Charlamagne. He had a great point just saying, like, you know, they care that much about you. Why are you behind, you know, the guest? Why are you behind the guest? So with that being said, me diving into that, it got personal. It got personal with Christine Leahy said, you know, why isn't Lonzo talking? Why is LeVar doing all the talking? Lonzo looks scared. He needs to go away from his dad. That's personal. That's when it got personal. And I can see that. And it goes back to, you know, some people, like, maybe they're old school. It's old school. Like, you're supposed to be submissive to your parent. But I get Lonzo's a grown man. That's none of my business. That is none of my business. But I'll say this. It got bad and took... I think LeVar was just being LeVar Ball. He was on the show to talk to Colin. Yeah, somebody talking bad about you, you want to talk to them? Like I said, we're all human, right? We're all human. So why would I want to talk to you? Nah, was LeVar disrespectful? I think LeVar was just being LeVar. But he was disrespectful. He made it clear he doesn't like Christine. He tried not to talk to her. But then Christine started, you know, putting words in his mouth. Oh, you're disrespecting women. No, I'm disrespecting you. LeVar has 3 kids going to college. One about to be drafted in the NBA. LeVar has a wife. So, for my very, so what's the problem? LeVar has disrespected people to talk bad about him will come right back at you. You know how LeVar Ball is, and I love LeVar. I love what he's doing. People say he's crazy. People thought Bill Gates was crazy. People thought Steve Jobs were crazy. You have to be crazy to be an entrepreneur. You have to have a little end game for yourself. Mark Zuckerberg, you're crazy. We tend to forget that these guys we're talking about are assholes too. LeVar can be an asshole. Let's not sugarcoat it. But Mark Zuckerberg's known as an asshole. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. You have to have a little in you. And it can bite you. I'm not saying go out and be an asshole. It's not a good thing to do. Be respectful to others, but you had a little tiger in you. And Jason Whitlock, his comments, I don't really care. I thought Charlamagne was great with the Donkey of the Day comments. Jason Whitlock has been known for his strong stance against African-American athletes and how harsh and critical he can be. And Jason Whitlock has been known as a womanizer as well. So, look at his comments to Serena Williams. So, just do some history, do some digging on Jason Whitlock. A lot of gray area lines about Jason Whitlock. And that's not me being personal about it. Those are just the facts. You got to come with facts. So, and look up Charlamagne's Donkey of the Day. I think it's great. He broke it down. Definitely had a lot of layers to it. But that's my two cents. Don't dish out the beating and then play the victim when somebody calls you out on your stuff. When you get called out on what you said, don't act in shock and play innocent. That's just my two cents about it.